Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
It is Monday, January the 27th, on this beautiful day in Burnaby, British Columbia. This is Speak Up. I'm your host, Carl, and we're going to start this episode with some history, as always. This is history from this day, January the 27th, on several different years in history. First of all, we have on January the 27th, 1820, the Russian Antarctic expedition leads to the discovery of Antarctica, the final continent discovered. Nowadays, we generally speak of seven continents, which are, in order of their size, Asia, Africa, North America, South America, Antarctica, Europe, and Australia. Contrary to popular belief, the Arctic is not a continent, since it's just ice floating in the Arctic Ocean, and the definition of what a continent is has always and still is confusing and somewhat controversial. Basically, it depends on where you went to school. The definition of a continent is simply a continued landmass. In geology, it means something completely else, but that's a whole other level of confusion that we're just not going to get into right here. And that's why in a lot of Latin American as well as Asian schools, students will learn about six continents. Because if a continent is one continued landmass, they consider North and South America to be one continent. See, my problem with that whole logic is that if you say that North America and South America would be one continent because it's one continued landmass, then by the same logic, wouldn't Africa, Europe, and Asia also be one continent? Because they technically connect at different parts. So you would have like four continents in total instead of seven. And it gets even more confusing when you get to Australia, which there's this weird thing where we in Europe learn that the continent's name is Oceania. And apparently there's a thing in especially the US and the UK that Oceania is just like the region that includes Australia, New Zealand, and like the Fiji Islands, but the actual continent's name is Australia, which I just find super confusing because Australia is supposed to be just the country that's within Oceania. And then I guess you would say that New Zealand, by that logic, is in Australia, which just sounds so wrong to me. So in summary, there's no concrete definition of what the continents are. So next time you're in an argument with someone about this, just know you're not right about this, who you're arguing with isn't right about this, and no one is right. Because no one can apparently agree on what a continent is actually supposed to be. But anyhow, in more history, on January the 27th, 1967, the Outer Space Treaty is signed by 60 countries, including the Soviet Union and the United States. And even today, this is the basis of international space law, which is a thing, apparently. Among other things, it forbids nuclear weapons in the orbit of Earth and limits the use of the moon and other celestial bodies to peaceful purposes. The treaty statement is that the quote-unquote exploration of outer space shall be done to benefit all countries and that space shall be free for exploration and use by all the states. So some very utopic stuff happening there. And then there's the on January the 27th, 1970, the PG rating for movies is introduced. PG stands for Parental Guidance Suggested. And later on, in the early 80s, the PG-13 rating was added. This was suggested by Steven Spielberg after Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, which got the PG rating, had parents complaining because of all the violence and the gruesome people getting their hearts ripped out and stuff in the film. The definition of PG-13 is parents strongly cautioned. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. And then the next step after PG-13 would be the R rating. And what differentiates R and PG-13 is basically that R can have more violence, more sexual content, and more profanity, which I personally find these three things not to be on the same level of how they should be taken seriously, especially profanity. However, when it comes to profanity, there's often expectations that are made. For example, the film Gunner Place has a PG-13 rating, even though it has 42 uses of the F word. I'm not sure how exactly this is justified, but they seem to have gotten through with it. So much for history. Another thing that's on January the 27th is my friend Winnie's birthday. So Winnie, happy birthday, I see you tonight. And next up, we are just going to play some music. I'm going to play you a German band that I really like. This is Von Wegen Lisbeth with the song Staub und Schutt. And then I'm going to play some more with them.
Komplett Entrümpelung und Demontage. Preis hängt ab von der Etage. Stabiles Angebot. Doch wer hängt das an meine Tür? Der weiß doch selber, so eine Annonce hat hier im Viertel gar keine Chance. Wer Demontage sucht, sowieso zu mir. Ich bin ein Abrissunternehmen, das heimlich Steuern unterschlägt. Und wenn sich alle schlafen legen, an deinem Dachstuhlbalken seh. Und wenn du aufwachst, bin ich lange mit meinen Baggern eingerückt. Dann ist hier alles Staub und Schutt. Du schenkst mir was, ich mach's kaputt. Völlig klar, Sie sind ein Hurensohn. Bitte nehmen Sie's mir nicht krumm. Doch der Typ, der seine Frau erstickte, der Heroin vertickte, seine eigene Tochter fickte, alles Kavaliersdelikte. Und ich sitz hier noch rum. Unternehmen, das heimlich Steuern unterschlägt. Und wenn sich alle schlafen legen, an deinem Dachstuhlbalken seht. Und wenn du aufwachst, bin ich lange mit meinen Baggern eingerückt. Dann ist hier alles Staub und Schutt. Du schenkst mir was, ich mach's kaputt.
Meine neue App rechter. jetzt wesentlich teurer, aber früher war er leckerer. Es sind jetzt andere Orte, wo dein WLAN sich von selbst verbindet und wo dich keiner findet.
Hey, I apologize for some technical difficulties here on Speak Up. I am just going to play the next song, also by Von Wegen Lisbeth. This is Alexa, Gib mir mein Geld zurück.
Hat jedes Ronaldo Highlight YouTube Video nur scheiß Musik und überhaupt, wer hat mein Hinterrad geklaut? Was ist der Sinn ganz generell von Sternburg Doppel Karamell? Ist das von Tupac oder Brecht? Swipe ich nach links oder nach rechts? Mach ich noch ein Praktikum?
We are back here on CJSF 90.1 FM. This is Speak Up. My name is Carl, and my co-host today is... Take your time.
Yeah, sorry. This is Deborah.
And we have something to play for you that we kind of helped work on a bit. This is Caden Streeter. He was an intern at CJSF last week, and he did a Streeter asking people a very interesting question that we are going to be discussing after this. But I am just going to play you this Streeter by Caden first.
In grade 11, and I'm volunteering at the CJSF radio station. So far, we've had a pretty bumpy start to this year, and I wanted to know, in our current world, what is one thing you would change and why?
Oh my god. one thing I would change... Jesus Christ, this is like a crazy question. Maybe just more compassion for others. I think everyone's pretty selfish and like self-centered these days. If we could just have a lot of more like empathy for people just in general and understand where people are coming from and not be so self-centered, I think that could start fixing a lot of problems. And I think that's a good place to start.
First of all, hopefully like get rid of the snow, because we're to be mountain men and none of us like the snow at this point, because I've already like almost broken my toes like 5 times over the past week. So hopefully just like get rid of the snow. That's the first thing. Other than that, just be cheerful, you know, just like try to keep smiling, I guess, because I relate to it being a trash year beginning, I guess.
I feel like maybe the standards of social media. Because it affects everyone like mentally.
Yeah.
So I think that's something I change.
Yeah, I completely agree.
One thing for me that I think is a big deal is like consumerism and like how wasteful we are. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's pretty much it. But I know it's like it's not something that's an easy fix. So
yeah.
So something I would change about my world, my life, and I guess I could see it projected into the greater dominion of the public, is that I wish people were more faithful to a higher being. What I mean by that is I wish people were embracing spirituality, God in their lives, and in their discernment for their vocation, their career path. That's what I wish.
Yeah, I wish I could change the relations, you know, like the overall cultural relations, you know, that society has. I know, like, certain countries haven't been getting along, you know, very well. Don't want to name some specifics, but the event with the Iranian ambassador was pretty significant. I mean, U.S. and Iran always have been in a rocky relationship, especially with Canada too, since Canada's like USA's brother. So, you know, like, if we could change these relations, I think it would be good.
I would go for universal access to all knowledge. I would go so that everybody can have access to everything ever published, so that you can basically not be kept in the dark by not having access to the best books, music, video, lectures, that if you were anywhere in the world, you could go and attend a Simon Fraser University lecture just because you wanted to. That would be, I think we would have new ideas coming out of everywhere, not just those that are privileged enough to be in some of the top universities.
Mine's somewhat shorter.
Okay.
I just think people should share more.
Mm-hmm.
Across the board. Share your marshmallow. Share your money. Share your house. Whatever the case is.
So I got a lot of answers that I was kind of surprised by. I expected a lot more to be based on climate change and that sort of stuff, but a lot of the answers that I received never really had like crossed my mind before, and they're really interesting to see different people's perspectives of the world.
Very quickly before we discuss this, just a PSA that at the SFU Burnaby campus at Convo Mall, there is a SFU student walkout for the Wet'suwet'en Nation. I'm sorry, I completely butchered that pronunciation. But it's happening right now at Convo Mall, if you want to go check that out. And this is from the official Facebook announcement. Redwind, Sovereignty and Unceded Lands are under attack. We are asking you to join in the international call for support issued by the Redwind Nation for organizing walkouts across British Columbia and Canada. British Columbia breaks its own laws by attacking Wet'suwet'en, even though the province of British Columbia signed the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples into law in November of 2019. They continue to violate Indigenous sovereignty and free, prior and informed consent. And what this is about specifically is the coastal gas link AGN, the pipeline that's supposed to be expanded on the lands of the Wet'suwet'en First Nation. So yeah, if you want to show them your support, then come to Convo Mall right now and join the SFU student walkout. But going back to Caden Streeter and the question, if you could change one thing in the world, what would it be? It's an interesting question, definitely. And we had like most of the people that we talked to, or that Caden talked to rather, they had to take a moment to think about it.
Yeah.
And I think if you asked me the same question, I would be like, whoa, I mean, there's so many different things. And like choosing one thing specifically is also just so hard.
Yeah, you know what? You know when there are so many things, like you I think you probably take things for, we've taken it for granted. Like we really haven't thought about it. We always say passively that, oh, I wish I could change this, I wish I could change that.
Yeah.
And then the moment the question is posed to you, what is that one thing that you think is of utmost importance that you want to change, and you are lost? Because I remember we went with Jaden and that particular question actually threw people off. You just realized that it is something that people haven't really thought about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people haven't really thought. And I am an example. Like when he was asking the question, what is this one thing that I would change? I think there were so many things on my plate that I think I would change. But then what is the most important thing to you?
Yeah, it's so hard. You have to you have to find one thing that will, I guess, set in motion more events that will, that will do some good for the world. I don't know. It's really hard to just have one specific thing.
Yeah, it's really difficult. That right now, what is this one thing that I think I would change?
I don't know. Do you have an answer right now? Or?
I don't know. I think I would agree with some of the interviewees about sharing more, mm-hmm. caring more. Maybe the world would be a better place if we all had some sort of compassion for our people around us. But then, well, I don't know the one thing that I would change. Obviously my personal life, the long route, I think. Yeah, that's it. But then aside that, I don't know, I feel I'm lost. Yeah.
Yeah, same. I thought about this on the bus today, and I guess the smart thing would be to start with one thing that in turn affects how people think about everything.
Yeah.
And this kind of relates to what you said with compassion, that maybe for people to be more empathetic, it would be good if everyone just, like, got a good look at themselves and how they affect the people around them. If anyone just suddenly got a moment of self-reflection, kind of, I think you would realize how you treat the people around you and the world in general. And maybe if everyone was more aware of their part in the world, we could actually change some stuff, right? And so I don't know, it's a very deep philosophical thing, but maybe if everyone just got a good look at themselves, basically.
Well, that's true, but then in the world that we're living in now, it feels like everybody, I don't know this sort of measurement to make it, and so everybody's like, I want to get there first, and so we are full of it's full of a self, some selfishness is on the high now, like I need to be fulfilled, I need to get to some point in my life where I feel that, hey, I have arrived. And if we all, if this thing becomes an individual thing, if succeeding becomes an individual thing, and then nobody's going to care about anybody. So as we were saying, it's all about thinking about the collective good and what is going to help make our world a better place.
Yeah, so I guess, what if we just gave everyone more empathy? You know, what if we made everyone just care more about everyone else?
Some sort of magic.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's basically what we're going for with this question, right? If there's one thing you could change.
One thing you could change.
Yeah. If suddenly, like, some higher being gave you the power to change one thing.
You know, there was this guy in one of the interviewees that was like, his one thing he could change is if people swore more allegiance to a higher being, if people believe
more. Yeah.
That was one of the interviewees that came up with that.
By the way, in the background, you maybe, I'm just gonna turn down my background music. You'll probably be able to hear the protests happening right now. And again, if you want to take part, everyone's gathering at Canva Mall, although I feel like it's already, they're already starting. Well, anyway, to get back to this discussion, I don't know, I guess you could relate this to this somehow, because, like,
yeah. The
pipeline expansion thing is also one of those things where it's like, it's because of selfishness and people wanting financial gain.
And I think people are taking the move now. We have protesters. We are listening to them right now. People
yeah.
saying, okay, let's do something for the world. Let's do something for people who cannot voice out the things that is within them. And it's always great when you see protests like this coming up. It's kind of refreshing that indeed, like, we are not lost. We are not totally lost. There are still people out there, and there are still good hearts out there that is ready to fight for the weak, if I'm allowed to say, that mm-hmm. is ready to fight for them, and the privileged that is ready to say that, no, this is wrong, and we're going to come together and make it right. So the world is not totally destroyed. It's moving, but it's not totally destroyed.
Yeah, that's some good advice. We talked about this earlier, that, like, the news stories for this weekend were, like, the most depressing thing ever.
Yes, can somebody tell me a good news happening in the world, aside the fact that there's coronavirus, there's Kobe Bryant's dying, there's a whole lot of bad news around us now, that we feel that the world is so scary right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody should just phone in and just, there's this good news happening here, and so we can breathe. Like, we could just give a heavy sigh and say, well, the world is not crashing.
Yeah, well, if you have any good news to share with us, you can call, wait, let me just turn around, 778-782-2573 to call into the studio. Or if you just want to send us a text, you can do that as well. And we will read it out.
Would appreciate it. I just, yesterday when I heard the news about the basketball player, I was so sad. When I heard the news, to be frank, I'm really not a fan of basketball, so I was like, okay, this is sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so it's a sad thing that somebody just died, and in a very horrific way, in a plane crash, like a helicopter crash, and I'm like, no, this shouldn't happen to anybody. So later in the evening, I saw news going around. I'm like, whoa, that guy is this popular. Let me just go along and then look at the news properly. And then I went, and then I later on it was reported that his 13-year-old daughter died alongside with him. And I'm like, no, this is not happening.
Yeah.
This is so sad. And then you see images of him trying to train his daughter to become a basketball player like him. And it's so sad that this dream just had to end here at age 41 and at age 13, which I feel is a very, very, very young age, that this girl is... There's so much enthusiasm if you see the pictures. And apparently, from the news I heard, they were on their way for a training, like, to train his daughter. And this happened alongside other coaches. And it's so sad. It's such a sad one.
Yeah, and it's also the thing that, like... Like, you think this doesn't happen to celebrities, like these...
Yeah, it's growing up. It's just... Know, did you ever grow up and you saw somebody and you said, this person is never dying?
Yeah, exactly. That's how... Like, you don't even take that into consideration that, like, some... I mean, you don't take that into consideration with anyone, mostly, but, like, I don't know. Accidents are awful, and it's really terrible what happened.
Yeah, some people growing up, you looked up to them, you always said that... There's no way this person is dying, and then you wake up one morning and the person is no longer with you. It's heartbreaking. Yesterday I was heartbroken. I think when I heard the news, it was passive, but then when I went further to read everything about him, look at his daughter, and I'm like, no, this is pain.
Yeah, I'm kind of I'm not the biggest basketball fan at all.
No.
I just knew the name. And I was like, oh, wow, this is someone really famous.
Like, there's a lot of his jerseys around. You see Bryant's, Lakers, like, they're selling it and people are just wearing them. But then I'm not really a basketball fanatic, so I never follow. But I think I've seen his name on T-shirts and everything. And back in my home country, people wear him a lot. And it's so sad. At 41 and at 13 is something that shouldn't happen. Like, we shouldn't be sitting on radio talking about this. That's why we are saying, just phone in and tell us some good news happening out there. Tell us some good news happening out there. And for our information, coronavirus is in Toronto. And one has been confirmed and one presumed. Apparently, is a husband and a wife affair. But this is something that we need to pay attention to. And everybody be safe out there. Just make sure that you are safe out there.
Yeah, wash your hands. If you want to be really careful, I saw some people on the SkyTrain today wearing the protective masks, which, I mean, yeah, just like if you want to take extra measures, you can do that and just, you know, stay safe out there.
As we are all dealing with coronavirus, we are also taking note of the flu. Please get your flu shots if you haven't.
And again, as Deborah said, if you want to text us some good news or any news or anything you want to share with your two favorite radio hosts, you can do so by texting or calling to 778-782-2573. Next up, I'm going to be playing you a promo for Renaissance Coffee, which is the coffee here at SFU, which is where I'm gonna go pretty soon because I forgot my lunch today. We'll be back after this PSA here on Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM.
There's only one place around the Burnaby campus of SFU that's been keeping staff, students, and faculty caffeinated in full for over 20 years. Renaissance Coffee. Owners Parminder and Kamaljeet Parhar have made such a contribution to life at SFU that they were awarded the Chancellor's Distinguished Service Award in 2015 to commemorate their commitment to community service at SFU. Not only providing a service that many might consider to be an essential part of life at SFU, Renaissance Coffee also provides a generous bursary for students who exemplify an outstanding dedication to community service. CJSF 90.1 would like to recognize and give thanks to this long-standing staple of life at SFU, and remind our listeners that if they need an extra boost of energy, they should visit one of the many locations of Renaissance Coffee around Burnaby campus.
Next up, here on Speak Up, we are going to play you a CD by Sue Decker. This is Outskirts of Love.
Save my soul. In this field of toil and strife, paint my secrets.
words between my eyes. Draw me gently to that glory place, to that land where freedom reigns. Leave the devil I know, leave the devil I know. Lay me down in the indigo, stain my body, save my soul.
being used. I emptied out the closet and I got down on my knees.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Carl and this is my co-host
Deborah.
And we have another studio for you today. This is a studio that you did, Deborah. Do you want to talk about what this is about?
Okay, so this is basically about the royal family, Harry and Markle, which I think has been on the news for long. And apparently they are abandoning royalty to come live in Canada, maybe Vancouver. And, well, there have been so many controversies about this. Some people are saying, okay, if they are leaving royalty, is it that they are going to be away from public funds? And just recently, they are like, okay, yes, we are not going to dwell on public funds, but then coming to Canada. And if they come here, is it the taxpayers' money that is going to be used to actually provide security for them, considering the fact that these are people who are very influential in the world now, and so they'll be very targeted by anybody who wants to do bad. And so some candidates are worried by the fact that, okay, if they move in here, that means their monies are going to be used to actually tighten security for them. And are they moving here as ordinary citizens like every immigrant does, or they are moving here still with a title? And so we went out there to find out what they think. They're actually good things and bad things. For me personally, I think that if they come here, well, as somebody said in one of the streets, like, it's going to bring about people want to also, it's going to put Vancouver on the limelight. I don't know if that is really true, but then I think that if somebody hears about it, or somebody in the UK, in the United Kingdom, says, okay, so Meghan and Harry are moving to Vancouver, somebody probably who has not heard about Vancouver would also go look it up and want to come here. So yes, it's going to open some opportunities for Canada. But then, yes, what are the citizens saying? So that is basically what we went out to find out. Are they happy? Do they like it or not?
Yeah, well, let's hear what people on the SFU Burnaby campus have to say about this.
Hello, I'm Deborah from CJSF, the campus radio station, and I'm out here today to find your thoughts on Meghan Markle and Harry, the royal family, moving to Canada and possibly settling in Vancouver.
Interesting. It doesn't affect my life one way or another, so I'm not overly concerned in the least bit.
I'm excited that they are choosing Vancouver. It's a very good choice, but I'm not a monarchist myself. I think that it's important to have history and the Queen. She's a part of our lives, but I'm not sure it's really relevant in the modern time.
Honestly, I would kind of like them to be here because it would just bring more liveliness to the city.
So a lot more visitors would come from other places and come visit just because they know they're here.
It doesn't matter at all, and I think they don't deserve to be famous. At least not the royal family, you know. I don't.
I'm from the United States, and I'm really sad that they're leaving the royal family. I want monarchy to have no power at all, but they absorb all of the media attention about clothes and parties and all of that kind of thing, because in the United States we have a president that has to be a star and run the government, and frankly they don't do both very well at all. So I think we should have monarchy to take up all the parties and all the media attention, and then let actually have good politicians. So I'm sorry that they are leaving the royal family.
The last guy was my favorite.
Yes. What do you think about his assertion that monarchy should take up politics?
I guess his idea was that, like, when you have the royal family, like in the UK, they don't actually have any political relevance at all, but still people talk about them, and, like, this is what, like, the UK news is, or like the international perspective on the UK is right now. That's like the main story, instead of it being like Brexit or something actually important that would actually affect anyone's lives.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a point. Like
I felt from his voice, you realize that he's so much into whatever he's saying there. And there are a couple of people who really don't care, like, hey, if they are coming, let them come in as any immigrants comes in.
Yeah, I don't know. In general, like, the role of the monarchy, especially, like, in European countries, is so, like, it's so unnecessary because all the monarchies in Europe, I think, are parliamental monarchies, which basically means they're not monarchies at all, but they have a parliament, and the parliament makes all the decisions.
Yeah.
And, like, the monarchy are just, like, they're, like, representatives, kind of, and they kind of show off they're just celebrities. That's all they are.
That's what he says. They're just celebrities.
Yeah, like, they hold speeches. And that's,
but then I think in the UK, the monarchy is quite strong. I don't know, but that I think the queen has a lot of say in there.
It's like she... God, we learned about this in school. I think it's like when they make laws or something, she will have to sign them. It's like we in Germany, we have a similar figure where the chancellor is the one who's in power, so Angela Merkel, but we also have a president.
Okay.
Which most people don't know, that there's a president of Germany.
I didn't know there's a president. I thought there was a prime minister.
No. We have a chancellor, and that's like the equivalent of the prime minister in the UK, and then a president. And the president, all he does is sign laws and hold some speeches, and like, you know, like, there's no actual real political power behind it.
Okay. I didn't know Germany had a president.
Yeah, we used to have a monarchy too, but we after World War One we got rid of them.
Well, should we uphold monarchy?
It's like, I don't know, like, there's, in my personal opinion, there's no point to it anymore, especially in, like, a democracy.
Yeah.
So, like, do we really still need those people just so we can see them on ET every night? And it's just, I don't know. Like, well, they're just celebrities.
Yeah, they are just celebrities, like a family tradition. I feel the United States till now have done a lot. Like, sometimes I look at the Canadian currency and then I see, I'm like, what is she doing here?
Yeah, I know, right? Like,
what is she doing on it? But then you realize that, I think for the United Kingdom, it's really going to be a very long thing if you really want to get rid of monarchy in the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
I don't see it happening in the nearest future.
Same. Yeah. It's just a thing of tradition and, you know, this bloodline continuing on, I guess.
Yeah. Like, we grew up with Princess Diana on our books in Ghana. I'm like, yeah. And it's great. It's actually exciting. It excites me, actually. Like,
Does Ghana have a monarchy?
No. No, we don't. Ghana don't have a monarchy. We basically have a president full of members of parliament who make decisions for the country.
Mm.
And we have kings and queens, but then they don't really affect the nation, if I could say that. That is why I was saying that when I came to Canada, Vancouver, one thing that I actually... what actually will be a takeaway is the power of the indigenous people, because and the power of local people, what they have and how they can contribute to the nation, and like, they have rights. Because back in Ghana, one thing I see a lot is that if probably their investments in the country, maybe we have a lot of gold, and so if there's gold mining, it's always the transaction is always between the government in power and the investors. But this is the case where they are going into the land of the indigenous people. It is that it's their lands they are going to mine. They are going to destroy their water. They are going to destroy their land, which they use for agriculture. And they don't have any decision in it. It's always about the president and the investors.
Mm.
And then to make it look like, okay, we are involving you, they say they have the House of Chiefs, where the chiefs come in to come and give their consent about something, which doesn't work. It's like we have made the decision, but we need to follow procedure.
Right. So even if the chiefs say no, they will still go through with.
They'll still go through with it. That comes back to the world we are in now, about how selfish we can be, because you realize that if they just give the chiefs something out of the proceeds they get, that's to say they also seal it. Then nobody thinks about the collective good. Nobody thinks about the poor farmer out there who so much needs the land to survive. Yeah. And sometimes I feel that the problem is we not having a long-term goal. Some people are just content about the fact of the good that they get now,
mm-hmm.
as to envisaging what is going to happen. And so if I'm going to mine gold on your land, okay, let me buy off your land and then I pay you off. And somebody is so glad because the person can probably buy a house from that. But the person forgets that if I have this land, I could get more. It's actually a life ownership.
Exactly, yeah. It's where people put those material goods over things of actual value, right?
Yes, things of actual
value. It's the same with like environmental abuse, where people don't consider the effects on the generations after them.
Mm.
And it's just about me and my life and what I want to have in my life.
Yeah.
Which is like a fancy car and a nice big house. And that's why people do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah. Well, what a bummer note to end this episode on. Next up is Democracy Now! You and I will be back next week.
Yeah.
And hopefully with some more positive news.
Before we sign off, January is the month of sexual immorality education, sexual harassment education.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for those of us out there who didn't know, let's take our studies on sexual harassment serious. It's happening. It's real. Don't be a victim and don't be... If you're not a victim, you are.
A perpetrator?
Yes. Don't be a victim and don't be a perpetrator. Learn about sexual harassment. Let's live in a world of equity. Let's respect rights. Let's respect bodies. And, well, the world will be a better place, hopefully.
Yeah, so stay safe out there. Be good, please. And we will see you again next week on Speak Up, Mondays at 10 a.m.
to 11 a.m.
Okay, see you next week.
Wandering Rhythms, Mondays from noon to 2.
Join us in a weekly sample of music from planet Earth.
The strangest mixtape you will ever hear.
Desert blues.
Balkan punk.
Latin funk.
African psych.
Pigeon rap.
And anything and everything else you can imagine, equally represented by all continents.
Because good music is universal.
Wandering Rhythms.
Mondays at noon on CJSF 90.1 FM.